Grace, mercy, and peace be with you, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. The text that we'll consider today comes from the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel, beginning with verse 11, a portion of our Gospel reading for this morning. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Thus far the Holy Word. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, dear fellow redeemed, 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday, 3 weeks ago on Easter Sunday, we learned why Easter is the most important day in the Christian calendar. For Easter highlights the most basic beliefs of Christians. It proves that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. The empty tomb proves that Jesus' mission of redeeming sinners was a mission accomplished. And the empty tomb demonstrates to us believers and comforts us with the assurance that as Christ rose from the dead, so we too will one day rise to eternal life in him. That's why the resurrection isn't just a part of the Christian faith. In fact, the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans says that the resurrection is the definition of the Christian faith. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So in a very real sense, every believer, every true Christian, is an Easter believer. We are Easter believers, and we're humbled and privileged to be known as such. Over the next couple of Sundays in chapters 10 and 15 of John, we'll look at different characteristics that identify our risen Savior and which thereby also help to identify us as Easter believers, as disciples of the risen Savior. No doubt the first identifier was very clear to you the first moment you laid eyes on your bulletin cover for this morning. Today we consider the theme, Easter Believers Follow Christ, the Good Shepherd. He's the good shepherd because he made the ultimate sacrifice for his sheep, because he has a vested interest in his sheep, and because he has an intimate knowledge of his sheep. Whenever we're reading any section of the Bible, one of our first jobs is to identify those two most important teachings of God's word, the law and the gospel. It struck me that it's pretty easy to see the law in this text. It lies in the single word, sheep. Ever wonder why Scripture so often refers to God's people as sheep? Sometimes we get so caught up in the charming picture of Christ as our good shepherd that we lose sight of the fact that to be called a sheep is by no means a compliment. Rather, the opposite. One modern writer pointed out how different sheep are from other domestic animals. For one thing, he said, sheep cannot clean themselves. If you've ever seen a sheep whose wool is matted with mud and filth, it's really a pretty disgusting sight. Moreover, sheep love to wander, and if not closely supervised, will invariably wander off and become lost, which in turn is a big problem because sheep, unlike other domestic animals, have no natural defense mechanisms. When they are lost, they are completely at the mercy of predators. Sheep cannot find food and water for themselves, but must be led to pasture. Finally, compared with other domestic animals, sheep just really aren't very smart. So how do you feel now about being called a sheep? Not a very great compliment, is it? Particularly when you realize that a lot of those same traits apply quite well to you in a spiritual sense. You can't clean yourself, for one thing, at least not when it comes to your soul. It's tempting to think you can. It's tempting to think that you can make up for your past sins by doing good deeds. and expunge at least a part of your guilt, but that's a dream. It's a dream that's very frustrating and ineffectual, as Martin Luther found out to his very great distress. Moreover, when left to yourself, you tend to wander, don't you? Isn't it true when you look back over your life? All we like sheep have gone astray, says the prophet Isaiah. We have turned everyone to his own way. On your own, you would be completely without spiritual nourishment and completely at the mercy of those fierce predators of your soul, the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh. On your own, a helpless sheep, you'd be headed for a swift and certain trip into the fearsome jaws of hell. Thank God you're not on your own. You have a shepherd to protect you, to care for you, and to provide for all of your needs. And much more than that, even, because our text for today says, in our text, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Easter believers follow Christ as their good shepherd, first of all, because he made the ultimate sacrifice for his sheep. Are you personally acquainted with any shepherds? You know any sheep farmers? I actually know a couple. I had a couple of sheep farmers in my previous congregation in South Dakota, and they're conscientious people. They're very responsible about providing regular food and protection for their livestock. I certainly think you could refer to them as good shepherds. But what would you say about a farmer who voluntarily went on purpose to the slaughterhouse and sacrificed his own life so that his sheep could be spared? One writer pointed out that most of us wouldn't refer to him as a good shepherd, but rather as a crazy shepherd. That sacrifice makes no logical sense. The hymn writer looks up to the cross of Calvary and says, "What punishment so strange is suffered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owe him, who would not know him." But that's just what your Lord Jesus did for you. To save you from the killing floor, he went there himself. Isaiah goes on, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Jesus went quietly and willingly to the slaughter. As our great good shepherd, he made the ultimate sacrifice for his sheep. Which brings us, of course, to our next point. We Easter believers follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd, for another reason. Because having made that ultimate, that unthinkable sacrifice, Jesus is one shepherd who very definitely has a vested interest in his sheep. In our text, Jesus contrasts himself with the hireling, a worker who is paid wages to watch over the sheep, but who himself has no interest other than that in the sheep themselves. A hireling, Jesus said, is he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Man pulled up to a stoplight one day and found himself next to a largish truck carrying a cargo of live sheep. With a laugh, he called up to the truck driver and said, "I guess you shepherds don't transport your sheep around like in the same way you used to, do you?" But the truck driver wasn't laughing. "I'm not a shepherd," he said. "I'm a butcher." The hireling's interest is not in the welfare of the sheep, to put it mildly. And sad to say, there are lots of hirelings out there in America's churches in our day and age. There are plenty of people who are in it mainly for the money. In fact, it's interesting that there's a growing trend among American churches in which the preacher himself either owns the church outright or has a controlling financial interest. In other words, the more members the preacher can attract, the more profit he makes and the more money goes into his bank account. They're hirelings. They care about profits, not people. They're after the fleece, not to take care of the sheep. The Lord condemns the hirelings when he says through the prophet Ezekiel, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock." And needless to say, of course, when deadly danger is nearby, the shepherd abandons the flock and flees. But not Jesus. Our risen Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. Unlike the hireling, Jesus has a vested interest in his sheep. He owns us. We belong to him. Now, even that statement might put people's back up a little bit. There might be many people who would say, "Nobody owns me. I'm independent. I make my own decisions," said the helpless sheep as it wandered off into the wilderness to die. That's not us. Thank God we're not independent. We are sheep of the good shepherd. We belong to him, Paul says. You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. We were purchased at a price, and the Apostle Peter tells us what that price was. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. How ironic that the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God should himself become the great shepherd of the sheep. Our good shepherd, who cares about his sheep and loves his sheep because they belong to him. He paid for them. He has a vested interest in their welfare and will not allow them to wander off and be destroyed. A little later on in this chapter, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Which, of course, brings us to the final reason why Easter believers follow Christ, the Good Shepherd, because he has an intimate knowledge of his sheep. In our text, Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." The Greek word for know in this passage is gnosko, and it usually means something more than a superficial knowledge or acquaintance with a subject. It generally indicates a deep, thorough, and comprehensive knowledge. To know another person in this sense means to understand every single thing about them. That's the intimate knowledge that our good shepherd has for each and every one of his sheep, including you. Now, that thought can be both sobering and comforting. Sobering because it reminds us that we're never out of sight of our good shepherd. He sees everything we do, say, or think. He sees your every sin, perceives every lustful thought in your mind, and overhears every unkind word you say. But how tremendously comforting it is as well. For despite knowing all your sins and shortcomings, your good shepherd loves you and will not suffer you to perish. But when you sin, gently calls you back to his side. He bids you bring your sins to him in repentance, and each time you do, he grants you his pardon. He will make you to lie down in green pastures. He will lead you beside the still waters. Indeed, to be known by the good shepherd is itself life and salvation. For the psalmist says, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." An American evangelist named Bob Crabtree wrote an interesting article about a trip that he recently made to Russia. He was traveling through a remote rural area one day when he was suddenly forced to stop his car by a giant herd of over 300 sheep in the middle of the road. Actually turned out to be two flocks of sheep whose two shepherds stood in the middle of the road and chatted. The sheep had become completely intermingled, and coupled with a growing impatience, the evangelist also felt a growing curiosity. How in the world, he thought, will they ever be able to separate these sheep? Well, as the shepherds finished whatever it was they were talking about, one of the shepherds began to walk away and said a few words over his shoulder, telling his sheep to come. Amazingly, they did. With that one simple word of bidding, the two flocks of sheep separated as if by magic. For you see, they knew the voice of their shepherd. We know the voice of our shepherd too, don't we? As Easter believers, we follow the voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd. He made the ultimate sacrifice for his sheep. He's the one who also has a vested interest in his sheep, and he has an intimate knowledge of his sheep. May God grant that we may all prove faithful followers of Christ, the one true Good Shepherd. And one day, promises Peter, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Amen. Please rise.